Hello and welcome to Gaming Times, your weekly video game podcast about
that gaming life.
I am one of your hosts, Isaac, and I'm joined by Patrick.
Hey, what's up, people? I did finally do it. I saw Black Panther.
Finally, the movie just came out, Patrick.
I know. It felt like it took forever, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was actually, you know, it was so much, so many tributes to Chadwick Boseman that I was like, man, it was like touching, man. It really was. And I enjoyed it. I thought the way they decided to tell the story was really good.
Yeah, that's good to hear, Patrick. I haven't had time to watch it yet. I've been extremely busy this last week. But from the reviews I've seen, it seemed like the movie did pretty well comparing, or, you know, with the burden and the weight that was associated with that movie. Not only being a sequel to Black Panther, but also a tribute to Chadwick, and then also introducing new characters to the MCU and trying to carry on all these other things with the MCU, and then the social impact of Black Panther and all that. So I was glad that they were able to pull it off.
Yeah, me too. That's actually well said. I was glad they could do it too, and I thought they did a decent job. You know what I mean? I thought it was a pretty decent movie for me. Like, because I'm sure there's multiple ways they could have done the story, but I thought they executed pretty well.
Okay. Well, Patrick, I'm glad you got to see it, and I'm glad you liked it. For this show, Patrick, we are going to be talking about the Netflix kind of making some new video game movie announcements and bringing more TV shows, video game TV shows, to their platform. The God of War sales, Ragnarok, that also came out this week. One, Ricardo's comments on the Microsoft Activision Blizzard sale, and this guy is a commissioner working for the EU to, you know, who's investigating this, the merger between Activision and Blizzard. So he made some interesting, perhaps daft comments. And then we'll be finishing up with Mick Gordon's, the composer of the Doom soundtrack. He essentially wrote a statement on how he was treated and what really happened during that development phase of that game. But Patrick, before we get into any of that, what have you been playing this last week?
So played a little bit of Rocket League. I don't know why SBMM hates me in the fact that I don't mind playing against stiff competition. Told you that. But can I get some teammates that's trying to play? I'd be like, man, help me. People, how'd you get up here? Because on the other team, I'm not joking, I get teams a lot of times, and I'll see Grand Champion season something. And I'll be like, man, like, I know I'm good. God, man, like, can I get some help? But yeah, it's, you know, it is what it is. Good time, man. Got me some, you know, I was just messing around, man, playing some casual. Got a few wins, definitely got a few losses. But you know, it is what it is. Still a great game. Been playing some Apex in between the next game I'm talking about, but had a great game. Finally had my good old fashioned sniper loving one bullet, two kills. You can see that clip on my Twitter.
That was a at times pack.
Yeah, right. it's a good time. I was having a good. That was some teammates who was about it, man. We won that game, and it was a lot of fun, man. Actually, I just won a game with Lifeline earlier today, messing around, and it's just like I said. It's when you have teams that are trying to win and function as a team. It's just so rewarding, man. Like, even when I lose, that game is so much fun when you have people trying to, you know, fight and move and maneuver on all cylinders like a team. So yeah, but the third game I've been playing is Persona 5 Royal.
Nice. And, well, you finally did you beat Ni No Kuni then?
Oh, I did beat Ni No Kuni. I'm sorry. I posted that on Twitter at times, Pat, as well. I rolled credits on Ni No Kuni. Don't know if I'm going to try to get every achievement. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that. But definitely roll credits on it. It was a good game. I should say it was very, in my land of JRPG, it was very serviceable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to overstate it. It was a very serviceable game. Glad I got to experience it. Even though I bought it many times, glad to play it on my Xbox, which was a lot of fun for me because that's, you know, the platform I kind of prefer to play on. So that was cool too. But then I was like, yo,
time to get into
I have God of War. I have Ragnarok, and I slid the box over after installing the digital game. I slid the box over. Say, you know what? I know everybody's talking about this. I know they're going to be talking. Are all the good things. Shout out to Gangsta Clifford. He finished it already.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but me, I wanted to play Persona 5 Royal. I wanted another JRPG in my life. God of War ain't going nowhere. It's on my profile. So I was like, yeah. And so far, it's a really good game. I haven't completed Kamoshida's castle yet, so clearly
we're teaching the tutorial.
Yeah, and you can clearly, even for that game, I guess when you play as many JRPGs as I do, it's kind of funny, but like the tutorial points, you just kind of, like, I'm just kind of accepting it as the tutorial, because I'm just like, I know, I get that, I understand, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, if one or two combat things I didn't know that they teach you clearly, because it's a new game to me. But for the most part, I'm just like, I just want to carry on. But I'm sure I'll get there. I do like how the story so far, and like how much voice acting you get. I like the animated cutscenes and all that. It's really cool.
Yeah,
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say I'd be upset if someone only offered me $4,000 for a main character of Persona 5 or whatever the amount of money is. That's a Bayonetta reference.
Well, look, I mean, yeah, you know. But the one thing I will say is sometimes it's like overly stylized, and it could just be my eyes.
Okay.
I'm just like, can we just ease up just a little bit? I mean, it's good. It's actually really good. But I'm just like, can we just lower it just a touch? And the other thing is, the camera, maybe I can stiffen this up, I haven't checked, but the camera feels like really loose, like, and it feels like it's hard sometimes to make my character run in the right direction, but that could be because my main controller is now experiencing drift, so I'll give them the benefit of the doubt on that, because I really do think my main primary controller is like, yo, bro, you rocked in Apex, we're done here.
A little bit too much.
Yeah, it was like, you was killing people, you was wrecking, you was fragging, but, yeah, sorry, I had to throw in the towel. And I'm pretty sure, like, I could show you, too. I'm like, oh, it's bad. But so I'll give them the benefit on my character's movement. But on the camera, sometimes, like...
Yeah, and really the camera, too, if I remember that game correctly, it's like a weird, like, in my opinion, like, fixed camera, not fixed camera.
Yeah, it is. That's caught me, too. Like, if I get the end of the hallway and I'm trying to rotate the camera, and then it's like, nah, bro.
Nah, you can't rotate it now, and then it, like, go back to that third person sometimes. But it's not, like, it's not something like Tomb Raider or Uncharted, where you have like a free floating camera, I guess. Mm-hmm. Usually it's pretty restricted.
Right. Exactly. It's unique for sure. You're describing it pretty well. Like I said, because I noticed I went to a corner. I was on like on a street or something, or maybe it was in the school. I don't know. But I tried to turn it and it was like, no, you can't turn the camera here. And I was just like, what? And then I go back to the main like kind of hallway area. And then I could turn the camera and I was just like, yo, this is kind of weird. But you just kind of, you know, grit your teeth and go, okay, well. What am I gonna do? You know, I'm here now, and I'm fitting to go on this ride. So let's do it. But it was so far, like I said, it's a really good game. I'm still trying to learn a lot about combat, and I can see where some stuff is already going. You know, you can just like, kind of see, like, okay, I kind of. And I mean, I'm talking about the characters you identify very early in the game. I'm not acting like I could tell where the whole story's going. Some characters annoy me. But maybe that's because I don't know enough yet. Like, Igor's getting on my nerves, bro. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm just like, I don't like you. Maybe I'll learn more about you later. You know what I mean? But no. It's so far, it's really good. And I'm enjoying it. And I definitely plan to keep playing it more and more. I don't think I'm gonna be putting that down anytime soon. But I enjoy it. It's really good.
Yeah, it's good. And like I said, once it kind of like takes the training wheels off and kind of actually makes you or lets you decide, like, oh hey, like, I'm gonna do this with my day, or I'm gonna do that with my day, or whatever, instead of kind of pigeonholing you in, which they kind of obviously they do for the first castle pretty much, and then once you all palace, but once you get past that, then you really like I said, training rules come off. And I think maybe part of that too is because if you don't do things at a certain time, then you will fail the game. You don't die or anything, but the game fails and you get reset.
You get the game over screen.
I think maybe that's that might be a reason why that tutorial is so long, where they hold your hand essentially through the entire process at first to be like, hey, like, after we let you go, if you mess up, you might have to replay like 10 hours, you know?
Yeah.
Or you might lose 10 hours in play. But for me, Patrick, I'll keep it short and sweet. I've been so busy this week, I haven't really played anything. It's been extraordinarily depressing. I did try to go into that GameStop where I got the randomly got that Horizon Collector's Edition. So I was like, oh, maybe I can get lucky, see what happens. They didn't have one this time, so I was a little bit sad. I did get some movies. Best Buy, I think it still might be going on. All the like 4K or Ultra HD movies have been, but like essentially $10 for all the movies.
I saw a bunch of them. I was trying to find some I didn't have.
Yeah. So I picked up Dune, Everything Everywhere All at Once, Shang-Chi, and I can't think of the fourth one. But I can't remember the last time I actually bought a disc movie, because most of the time, you know, it's just so much is just streaming nowadays.
That's so funny. I actually buy discs all the time and then redeem the codes, but I buy discs all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I can't help it. The internet has gone down in my house. Don't judge me, people.
Well, when you redeem the codes too, I think that's nice that you can add to your digital library as well.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why wanted to start buying discs, especially now because I like this PlayStation 5 and I have a nicer TV that can do Ultra HD and stuff like that. So I'm like, oh, let me actually like look how I want to experience how good these movies look.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty much for me for this week. What I did want to know, did I play? No, yeah, at some point, probably maybe around Thanksgiving week, because that's when things are going to slow down a little bit for me. So I might go pick up God of War and try to beat it in like a day or two. Yeah, sometime next week.
Okay. I mean, I think Clifford, I think he took a day or two off or something like that. So he might have had an opportunity to get a lot further than most. But I could definitely see that. If I had time off to spare, like for my job, you know, if I had like a decent amount of PTO saved up. Mm-hmm. I probably would take off to just play Persona. I probably would. God of War will come in time. Don't get me wrong, but when you get a good JRPG in your hands, it's hard for me to just be like, I don't really want to play that. Like, nah, I'm trying to play that. So, but you know, I'll just have to progress during my hour or two, and see what I can do. I think to be clear, I think I'm 4 or 5 hours in. I think something like that. But I really want to kick Tomoshida in the face. So
yeah, that's good. They're doing the job right then.
Yeah, they are. I have to give them credit. They're doing it pretty well.
Pickups that you would like to talk about?
Well, the God of War Jotnar edition was really cool.
Yeah, did you open it up?
You have to. That's the new thing, right? If I don't, I can't redeem the code.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I did open it. Did I take everything out? No.
Nope.
But I did look at the steel book and a dice set's really nice and all that. But yeah, whenever I want to look at it, I just go roll a video that Santa Monica put out.
No,
it's pretty good.
Yeah, I think I'm not sure if we talked about this on the podcast. I'm pretty sure we did, but my theory, not to say that this is good, not to say this is consumer friendly, but my theory is why Sony, especially with the collector's editions, are now only doing digital codes, is because they do not need to manufacture potentially two separate discs, and then
it is,
they'll have a limited version of PS4 versions or limited versions of PS5 versions, where it's just like, you know, oh, here's the discount, here's the code, and we'll just slip this piece of paper in the PlayStation 5 or slip this piece of paper into the PlayStation 4 version. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little. That's my theory at least.
Well, what it is so okay. Not that it costs them a lot to print a disc. I don't know about packaging, but I know it's Sony. So, like, them printing a disc doesn't cost a lot. But what it does allow you to do is not separate the editions themselves, so you don't have to calculate how many people are going to do it on PS4, how many people are going to do it on PS5.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows you to put a code in that covers both. So the person who redeems it gets the game, and then if they don't have a PS5 and they later get a PS5, they just play the PS5 version.
Yeah.
So it's really, you know what I mean? Like, it's totally, it's a smart way to execute is all I guess I'm trying to say. As much as I hate it, because I hate it, you know, but it is kind of a smart way to execute and be like, oh, okay, well, we can, you know, just get this and it doesn't cost me anything to send it to you over the wire. So, I definitely get why they're doing it.
Okay. Well, let's move into our first story, Patrick. let's just talk about like video game movies and video game TV shows and how maybe Netflix is trying to move into this market. I know there's been a lot of rumors about them starting a like video game company or streaming video games, but it seems like they're really trying to corner the market on video game adaptations.
I mean, I think that they're trying to, I think for them, one of the big reasons they started this is because also they have a movie side of their business.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, hey, we can sell games, make great games, tell great stories. And then they can turn around and be like, hey, I'm also going to maximize this on the other side of our business. Or at least we have the knowledge for somebody else to maximize it, right? So I think it's good for them. And I think it's smart to strengthen your IP. If you have a good IP with a good story, you can strengthen it with movies, right? Like I think that's, or telling the story another way, whether that's literature or movies, whatever. But I think movies is a good way to do it because that's also a very popular entertainment medium, right?
You saw the bump with the Edge Runners, right? Cyberpunk Edge Runners.
Yeah, it also happened with The Witcher.
With The Witcher as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a known thing. Like people will cross back over if what you are showing is like that special, right? Like they'll like, oh, well, let me go see what this, you know, what started this or some other media with this in it. And it's definitely something to talk about. Like I think it's a smart plan. And I'm excited. There are certain IPs that I think are, even though they're great games, I think they're better suited for the screen.
Yeah.
I actually think Horizon, I've told you, like the most exciting thing they can do for me with the IP at this point is make it TV or a movie. Like I think that's where it belongs.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool. I think something like Bioshock 2, or Bioshock as well, can make a interesting movie. I think it would be a little bit difficult because I think a big part of, I know you're not the biggest fan of Bioshock, but with the first one, a big part of it was, you know, you being able to fill that role because it was a silent protagonist, and then it was like kind of got meta with the twist and everything. So I'd like to kind of see how I take on that for a movie and how putting a main character in that movie that, you know, someone might not identify with or have a little bit harder time identify with because you're removing their viewer's agency, right? Which is why video games are so great, because they give people the agency through the story. Yeah, they're on a train or on a tracks and stuff like that, but it's still, you know, it's them pushing the X button or shooting the bad guy or something like that.
That interactivity, right.
Exactly, yeah. And they did a great job with Castlevania. That they did. I think in almost all of those things actually have been kind of bangers. You know, Arcane, yeah. I'm not sure if you've seen that, was good. The Cuphead show was pretty funny. All the Castlevania seasons were good. Edge Runners was good.
I saw,
The
I Witcher think
was good.
One season of Castlevania. Yeah, you're right, though. You're on fire. They're all good. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting, especially if Gears of War gets made with the one and only Dave Bautista. I'm just saying.
Man, I had a tweet about that. They had like the cast or whatever, the dream cast. And I also think that the actor who played Cole should play Cole. Like he's like a Diesel dude too.
Who
plays Cole. Yeah. If in that tweet I tweeted out with that thing, there's somebody who comments with his picture and everything. And it's actually like a Diesel actor. I think it was the same dude who played the office linebacker, maybe. I can't remember like everything he's done, but like, yeah, he's not a little dude either.
So he's big.
He is Cole. Like, I mean, that's the dude who did it. So I was like, man, that would be really cool too. So I think that they definitely have some ways they can bring in some quote unquote big guns, right? I think they can do some big things with this one.
Yeah, he's a former wrestler. This dude's huge, man.
I told you, bro, he's nice.
This dude's 6'6". It looks like he's 300 pounds of muscle, man.
Cole Train, baby. He fits the bill already, man. That's why I was like, yo, because somebody, I forget who was in the picture that I posted, but when somebody put him in there, I was like, yeah, it should be him, the dude who did it. You know what I mean? Yeah, I thought that was something awesome, man. I really did. Like, I think there's real potential for what we can see here. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's going to be some good stuff coming.
Yeah, I think so too, especially if they keep their track record going. It's going to be interesting to see how they do.
Right.
Okay. Speaking of seeing how people have done or seeing how games have done early. So this is early numbers and it is only UK box sales, which in my opinion is still a good, not like a perfect measure of how stuff is doing, but in my opinion, if it's doing great, that probably means everything else is doing great. So the story that came out this last weekend after Ragnarok's released is that the sales indicator says it in one day after being released, Ragnarok has sold more than the first week of 2018 God of War.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, somebody else I saw tweeted that, I think. Yeah.
So, hey, go ahead.
No, you go.
Yeah, so it's day one physical sales were already greater than other full week launch sales titles in the franchise. So I think that's a great thing to look at, and it's definitely obviously it's going to jump to game of the year container, going off against Elden Ring, and I think that's going to be interesting. Obviously, I'm going to try to play God of War. I don't know if I'm ever going to play Elden Ring. Maybe when I'm like really old in a nursing home and about to die, and then like I need.
If you're really into the FromSoft, then do it. But if not, bro, I know people are probably gonna go. That's what I'm saying. People are probably gonna go crazy that I'm saying that, but I'm just telling you, like, you have to sit down with the mood of what that game is gonna be. Mm-hmm. It's like a Death Stranding in a way. So like that's why I say like I can go back to it and just pick up where I left off, whatever. But I just don't have the desire to. That's the thing. And so I would say that unless you really have in your mind, because your schedule's already kind of rough. By your own admission, right? Unless you have that really like in your mind to go do, I wouldn't do it. Maybe that makes me terrible. Everybody's like, "Oh my God, Elden," and maybe I'm just that dude, but I'm just like, "Yo, it ain't really hitting like that for me." But and I may go back to it, but I will. I promise you, I'll sit down and be like, "Okay, I know what's coming." You know what I mean?
Yeah, my body is ready.
Yeah, exactly. It is far easier to get me to jump on Persona 5.
Yeah, well, dude, Persona 5 is fantastic, man.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But the thing it tells me, though, right, because a lot of people was like, yo, it's got more than this and all that. The thing it actually tells me is that it's a testament to how good God of War was 2018. The reason I say that is because God of War 2018 was a known, it was an unknown commodity. The franchise was known. But this whole reboot of God of War, people weren't really sure about, right? Mm-hmm. They were just kind of like, I don't know. And then as we've gone forward, now it's like, oh, okay, this game is amazing. So now when 2 comes out, everybody's like, okay, the formula we know works. So, you know, let's get on that.
Well, and I think to your point, it's like why sequels or reboots nowadays are so... Maybe not so much reboots, but definitely sequels. If done properly, they garner so much like attraction and like, and people like them so much, and they make so much money. You know, you look at something like Top Gun Maverick, where it took something like, in my opinion, you know, that's a soft reboot, right? Just a little bit.
It's borderline.
Borderline.
Make your point though. Yeah.
But so it still like takes a very familiar aspects, but it still packages up in something completely new, where it's not just like, oh, we're not here to play the greatest hits of Top Gun, the first Top Gun. We're here to, I don't know, I don't even say like to play you something new, but you're familiar, like a band who a new album comes out from a band, and you're like, this natural sounds like this band, but it's
a natural evolution. Is I think what you're trying to say.
Yeah there you go.
And that it is very clearly so a natural evolution, and it is, in my opinion, quite incredible.
That's a fantastic movie.
Yeah, not even going to lie about it. So I think when you deliver something so good when everybody's questioning it, now they feel they know the product, and they're like, yo, we're not gonna leave this behind. Like, no way.
Yeah, this is coming with me.
Yeah. So, I mean, I told you, it would be more of a surprise if it was bad. It's like, I just can't see it being, you know what I mean? I was like, I can't see this being looked at as like, I can't see this being produced as a bad product when we saw what the first one brought us.
It's interesting that you said that, because I saw a story somewhere where some of the developers were like 3 to 6 months before the game came out, they still thought the game was bad. And I just find that like a weird trend, where I think something like at least the first Last of Us, when that like people thought like the co-directors of that game. They literally thought that this would be the game that would end Naughty Dog as a studio. And it all came together in like the last month or two after the delay. And that blows my mind, you know? It's like
it doesn't for me. The reason I say this is because I think that you're always harder on yourself and your product than the general public will be. That could just be my take, right? That could just be my take. But I'm talking about for like a big studio like Santa Monica, I'm saying. Like, I'm like, yo, you have to be like, okay, my product is not good enough. And then when you're finally like, okay, this may be good enough. Because, I mean, Corey Barlog was scared to death waiting on the reviews, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like, you know, it's a natural kind of thing when you're like, yo, I'm scared that my product is not going to be good enough. But that's why you grind and work and struggle and fight to make sure that it is. And I think that's a, I just think when I'm working at my job, for example, right? Sometimes I wonder if I'm delivering enough information to those who are going to make decisions off of it. Mm-hmm. I am my own worst critic, right? Somebody might be like, oh, man, that's great. I appreciate it. That's a good breakdown, you know. My boss might be, but, like, for me, bro, like, I'm like, is this enough?
Yeah.
Because I don't know if this is enough. And I'm, like, always worried about, or one of my other things is, like, worried about, like, wasting other, like, engineers' time, too. Like, it's a big thing of mine. But, like, yeah, like, even one of my coworkers told me last week, they were like, yo, man, you worry too much. So, like, I get it from their perspective, right? Because you're trying to deliver something phenomenal, right? You're trying to deliver something so memorable, so amazing, and you're worried about how everybody's going to respond to it. I totally understand it.
Yeah, that makes
and
sense.
I respect it. Yeah, I totally respect it. But, like, for like, I told the dude, and it, somebody, you know, decided to do some leaks, so it was ruined. But Corey Barlog, when he posted, like, now wait, I was like, hey, I think you can rest easy. And, you know, and then the leaks happened. I was like, I'm sorry. I really thought she was going to be the rest easy. You know what I mean? Like, but
whoops.
But I had a feeling the game, I mean, you got real good formula. I heard they made combat even more amazing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I figured they would do it right. And they have. But I do think it's okay to be your own worst critic. That's why I'm not always super hard on developers themselves. Because I already assume they're trying their best to deliver you a superior product or a product that's worth your money, you know, that's worth a fair price. And clearly they did that, right, in the eyes of many. But yeah, mm-hmm. But I get it. I do get it. I mean, and one day, you know, maybe I won't be like that on my work life, but I totally respect it. Because
that's your last week, right before you retire, your last
week. Retire? Yeah, exactly. I'd be like,
I'm out of here in a week. What are you going to do, you fire know. Me?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's over for me anyway, guys. You know, but I always will be pretty hard on the fact that you're trying to deliver something. So shout out to all of them, you know, all the developers who worked on it. Some of them are in my feed. I follow some of them on Twitter. And just congratulations on, you know, making a great product, for real. And I look forward to playing it. Like I say, it's Persona 5's fault that I'm not playing the game. Let's be real. If it wasn't for them, I'd be playing the game. But it's their fault.
So. Yes. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on. So we talk pretty frequently here about the Activision Microsoft merger and how the EU is investigating it to make sure it's fair play and yada yada yada. And so this guy, he is Ricardo Cardoza. He is the EU Growth Deputy Head of Unit Institutional Outreach Views. Essentially, he's a guy who's a gamer who works for the EU Commission. And he had after the EU, they tweeted out, hey, like, Merge Control Commission opens in-depth investigation on the proposed acquisition of Activision Blizzard by Microsoft. And they go ahead, you know, they link the article and everything, very professional. He goes and he says, the commission is working to ensure that you will still be able to play Call of Duty on other consoles, including my PlayStation. Also on our do list, update stock pictures. These gamers have weird controllers, whereas Xbox and PlayStation have wireless ones since 2006. So this is like cheeky, you know. Maybe it would have been funny if someone who wasn't directly related or working for them or with them, because then it kind of acted like, I'm sure some people here, if you're following the Twitterverse, the whole controversies and trolls of becoming verified and needing to become verified in what people have been doing and making verified accounts and then tweeting out ridiculous stuff, even in some of that tweets, some people are arguing are affecting the stock prices of those companies. This seems just kind of a daft move to do, you know? So he did respond. He said, to clarify, I'm not involved in the assessment of the merger and don't even work in the department dealing with the mergers. As clear from my profile comments are, uh, as clear As is clear from my profile, my comments are personal and not a commission's position, whose decision will be taken on the basis of the facts and the law. I'm not just like, dude, like, come on, man. You can't get away with that anymore. Like, oh, I put in my bio my views on my own. No, man.
Look, listen. We just saw another incident. Well, I don't know how much that really works if you say my views are your own and you represent somebody. You got to be careful like what you're expressing and how you're doing. I actually wrote a nice lengthy paper in college about how social media can get you fired. Mm. So that's kind of tone deaf. I think sometimes you just got to own the L, so to speak, and just say, look, I don't work in that department. Clearly my
joke
tweet. Yeah. My joke was a little tone deaf, you know, given the gravity of the situation of these, you know, this $70 billion merger, right? Maybe I should have just kind of let that ride. You know what I mean? Something like that. I just think that you're putting kerosene on a fire that's already burning hot.
Yep.
Because everybody's already asking real questions. If you quote unquote know, like what's going on, right? If you know, okay. If you know the industry, you're like, what do you mean you're worried about Call of Duty? Like, it's already been stated it's going to be everywhere. This doesn't even make sense for them. Like, you'd have to be crazy to do X, Y, and Z. So, like, if you're looking at all that, it's not really something to discuss. But since you work there, even though you're not responsible for the investigation, so to speak, and then you talk about on my PlayStation, right? It just, you're just going to give ammunition to people. Yeah. And now, right, you have, if the deal doesn't go through, well, you have tainted it. Let's be real. You've actually tainted it, because now people are going to say, see, that dude was suspect. You did that. You see what I'm saying? See, we knew they had a bias, right? All these things you can say, because it's like, hey, about that. And all you had to do was just, respectfully speaking, keep your mouth shut. Just, you know, say, hey, you know, the CMA will investigate it, whatever. You got to be careful some days. And I think about this all the time, as you know, because I've talked to you about it. You got to be careful, like, when you hit send and, like, how you worded something. Because if you word something the wrong way, or in some cases in life, if you don't even put words and say you link to something, you can be like raked over the coals. It doesn't, you know, because I've heard this saying before, and I've gotten it more so recently, but someone else's perception can be their reality. So it doesn't always matter. So now you've convinced a bunch of gamers to perceive the fact that the CMA is biased. So if it doesn't go through, well, who you think they're going to be looking at?
Mm-hmm.
So you just gotta be careful. You know what you're doing out here. Now, do I think CMA is biased? Well, what I'll say is time will tell. And it had nothing to do with this tweet, as you know. But I just think that, man, it's a really bad look for the CMA, man. That's a real bad look, man. I'm not calling for nobody's job, because I don't roll like that. I don't go messing with people's economics, okay? Like, that's not me. But I'm going to say up front, like, that's a really bad look. And I hope that, you know, people figure out, like, when is the good time to joke and when is the bad. One of the things, last thing I'll say before I let you jump back in, if you have any more thoughts. The essence of a great joke is timing.
Yes.
And even if that was funny, your timing is terrible.
Yeah. Well, if it was a parody account or something like that, or someone not directly linked to it, I'm like, oh, it's great timing.
That's what I'm
great
saying.
Joke. But when it's like, okay, like, you know, he was saying, hey, you know, we're making sure that the Call of Duty can be played everywhere, even on my PlayStation. I'm sure his opinion, or maybe he doesn't really care personally, but still, it's like, you unfortunately represent an organization. Whether you are in that department or not, you still represent that organization. And free, like, here in America, it's freedom of speech. You know, people like tack it on, oh, but not freedom of consequences. It's like, my man, like, don't. Just like, even, oh, my opinion's wrong. It doesn't matter, man. In today's climate, even something not as serious, in my opinion, because once again, we'll talk about, well, serious business-wise, right? It's a lot of money on the line here. But it's just like, dude, why'd you open your mouth, man? That's like, you know, you're at like a dinner with some family and then you bring up some stuff and you're just like, as a joke, and you're just like, why?
Well, and okay. So when you say like, my comments are my own, you're commenting on something your company is handling.
Yes.
That's another thing, right? So it's not like you commented on how you feel about the cost of sugarcane today or something. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't comment like on something, right? You commented on something your agency is actively investigating, which has something to do with the $70 billion merger. Like, is that a good time to comment? I don't talk about where I work or anything going on at work on any platform. Because that, and actually, you get a class on that at my job too, but that can be misconstrued. I've got a class that in my last two places of employment. So you got to be careful, even if your quote unquote comments are your own, what you're commenting on. And again, like I said, I'm not, you know, I'm not saying, hey, man, you need a new job. I'm not that dude, but I am saying that's a bad look. That's a bad look. You can't, you know, sometimes you got to be careful, even if that was literally your own thought or your own joke, whatever. Yeah, man. Bad juju.
For sure. Okay. And we're going to wrap this show up now, Patrick, with this story from Mick Grodo.
Gordon.
Mick Gordon. Gordon, right? God, I don't know why I wrote it stupidly. Gordon. Mick Gordon, the Doom composer, he essentially wrote out and has receipts of his interaction with id Software that led to that very public, very messy breakup. So, Patrick, well, why don't you take the lead on this?
Well, okay, so Mick Gordon, the start of the controversy was around, I mean, from the customer's perspective, was around a soundtrack for the game. And on the soundtrack for the game, for Doom, there was an issue with the quality of it. And so all the fans were like upset. There's a quality issue, yada, yada, yada. And so they put it all on Mick Gordon on a Reddit post. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, he didn't really say anything, whatever. And then he even talks about some negotiations behind the scene, but they put it all on him like, yo, this dude was a problem to work with, et cetera. So they kind of like stained his name. You know what I mean? And he didn't respond for a while, if memory serves.
Yeah, like, Doom Eternal came out 3 years? Like, no, 2020? Because I remember it came out with Animal Crossing.
Right, right. And my apologies for not being clear that it was Doom Eternal for everybody out there. But and so the guy details, with receipts no less, the tumultuous development and planning, the fact that they made an announcement at E3 about a soundtrack without even having a contract with him in place, a lot of the things he did on Good Faith, and them using music of his that they told him they didn't intend to use. I mean, there was just a lot of stuff. And if you remember my final thoughts, I'm not sure if it was the last episode or the episode before that, but it was one of our last three episodes. Forgive me, fan. But what I said was, don't learn about the industry. Remember, because it's going to show you some things that are like kind of crazy, right? And this, with his details and his receipts and them not getting a contract with him, but then having somebody else work on the soundtrack and him understanding that it didn't live up to the quality and alerting them and all that. And then them trying to throw it all on him and then to offer him the money he was owed, and then trying to put a gag on him at the same time. Mm-hmm. It just reeked of horrible, horrible management and horrible treatment. And frankly, that was the one time I said, how does this guy have a job? Like, after that breakdown came out, how does he have a job? And if I was wondering, and I know it's a long, lengthy process, legal battles, which is why I don't like them, but it made me want to sue id for defamation for that dude putting that on Reddit. Like, just based on what I read. I don't have every email, but he had some of them on the screen. It was crazy, man. Reading that expose was out of control. And I think the gentleman named, now he did, and kudos to him too. He said, don't go after anybody. Don't go after the other developers. They worked hard. You know, he said all the right stuff, but the person in charge, he specifically had the problem with it, that sent for him, as they say. They say, you know, they say, don't send for me. This guy sent for him. I actually wonder how he has a job after reading that. I'm seriously like, yo, man, you may want to leave the field. Because, see, what you did was, and it's about power, man. And we talk about these dynamics all the time. But, you know, you bring in your lawyers, you yell and scream. And I've been around leaders like this. Don't get me wrong. Not in my current job, you know. But and not my leaders in my previous job. But I've seen other leaders who do some things, man. That's all I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. And you see stuff like this, and it's just so sad because they know you're not. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention not getting paid for 8 months, then 11 months.
Well, yeah. So, and that's when he was sending some of that music in a good faith, like you said.
Right. And he was worried. He kept working. Right. And then he finally said at month 10, I think it was, look, man, I need some money. Like, I got it. Yeah, I've been working for you for like a year, bro.
Well, yeah. And then, you know, you use this music that was just like demo and it's in the trailer.
Or it's in the, it's crazy, man. And I was just like, yo, man, I think that people will do what they have to do to survive. But if I was a musician in the industry, I would stay far away from that dude.
100%.
I mean, there's no way I would go anywhere near that dude and work with him. Like, it just wouldn't happen. Because that's, from what I observed, maybe someday some facts will change my mind. I'm always open to being shown that this is not accurate, right? But from the case he laid out, man, I was just like, this is sickening, man. And I hope that something's done about that. For one, I hope he gets the money for all the minutes used, because I think he said he doubled his minute output too. So, and he explains how this is the difference between the Bayonetta incident and this incident. He explained to me how the contract works typically.
Yeah.
Which is you agree to a certain number of minutes, and then he provided double that number of minutes.
Well, and then he even went for, because, you know, the problem, or it seemed like the biggest problem, was the OT, the soundtrack for the OST, collector's edition. Yeah, OST for the collector's edition. And he lays out, he's like, hey, like, there's a difference between a score for a game and the OST. Like,
yeah, there's a big, and he explains how the music works in the game.
Layout and everything.
Yeah, he explains how the music works in the game. He also explains that's a separate contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so I was like, it was. Shout out to Mick Gordon. It was very articulate. Thank you for adding all the clarity to. And this is what I'm always talking about, right? When you're gonna lay out your case, you need to lay out the facts so someone understands. And you know, him not getting all this money and all that, man. It tore me up to read that, man, because I remember them dragging his name through the mud and saying, "Look, man, the quality's all on this dude." And the dude was like, "What?"
Yeah, he was like, you, like,
I mean, could you imagine reading that? Like, if you're like, could you imagine, like, you're at work and you're like, hey, look, this is going to be a problem. This is going to be a problem. This is going to be a problem. And then somebody goes, man, the reason this is failing is because of that dude. You know, it's funny. I have a similar story to that in my work life. I'm not going to share it today, but like, you're literally doing everything to tell a leader, I'm not going to say my leader, but a leader, like, this is what's going, like, this is a problem and I can see the roadblocks. So, like, we need to get ahead of this. And then they turn around and blame you?
Yeah.
That hits all too close to home to me in a previous work position that I'm not going to talk about. So I was just like, wow, man. Wow. And then you take the work. You don't give credit where credit is due. I was just like, this is bananas, man. This is bananas. And it just goes to show me like how rough this industry is. It's really kind of cutthroat. And a lot of people, when they consume entertainment, they cannot think about it, right? They can just be like, whatever, you know? But for me, man, it's not that simple, man. It's not that simple. Now, will I still play Doom Eternal? Yeah, I'm not going to sell Wolf Tickets. I told you, one of my favorite games of all time, Chrono Trigger, is mired in controversy. But, you know, I can still enjoy it. But it always, you know, I'm a little older now. It always kind of messes with me to know, like, what it took and who got messed over.
Yeah, well,
and Mick Gordon is really good. I think he also had a track on Metal Hellsinger, which was really good. Like, he's good at what he does.
I think and to your point too, I think as we kind of get older, we kind of start thinking about this stuff a little bit more. Maybe, you know, if you're a kid or you're younger, you're just enjoying the game, having fun. But as you get older, you kind of see it more. And now, especially with social media and everything, where we can talk directly to producers, developers, composers, and things like that, it's really easy to get those behind the scenes. And Patrick, I think you can maybe make a statement, or maybe not super general statement here, but I think you can make a statement and say almost any game that you play, there is a good chance that there's some type of controversy behind it.
Yes, the odds are in that favor. Yes, I would agree.
Yeah. And so it's either nobody came out and said anything, or they said, hey, it was worth all this unpaid overtime, or there's worth all the paid overtime or whatever, all the crunch to get it done, or whatever it is. You know, even something like Naughty Dog, right? The way the stuff that happened with Uncharted 4 with Amy Henry, right? And it's like, she was like the poster child of Naughty Dog, you know? And she was the one who helped launch them to where they are now, and they kind of, like, it seemed like they did her dirty, and there's still not all the details have come out about exactly what happened about that.
Right. It's a very, to your point, I mean, I definitely would say if you were taking that bet to Vegas, the odds are you would win versus you would lose. If you said, look, it's probably a controversy behind this game. I mean, their games will never get completed versions of because of controversies behind it. Mm-hmm. It was the Indivisible is one, you know, it's like they were still working on content and then just boof, controversy studio gone. You know what I mean? Like, so it's definitely a problem. And I do understand when it's like a lot of things like pro sports or art, or it's not always a smooth ride.
You know, what I mean? It's never a smooth ride when there's money involved, Patrick.
Well, I mean, I didn't want to go all the way there, but pretty much, I mean, you know, I'm just saying in the art world, the reason I say that is because decisions are creative. That's mm-hmm. what I'm saying. So it's not like you made a business analytic decision, like, you know, like a game mechanics making it in a game versus one that didn't can sometimes be the idea of the view of the mechanic, right, in the eyes of the beholder versus, you know, at a business, you hope they make decisions a little, you know, based on a little something a little more analytic. But yeah, I would say that's true. And we continue to see this. And again, I know the game industry won't be some perfect kumbaya land. But I think when you see somebody intentionally getting done wrong, that's where I draw the line. You know what I mean? That's where I'm like, yo, this is a problem. Because, I mean, imagine not getting paid for 8 months, then 11 months, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, imagine that. Like, I was just thankful the dude, like, he had somewhere to live.
Yeah.
Because for me, man, you don't pay me for 11 months, bro. It might get a little bumpy.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie to you, man.
Yeah. And yeah, he seems, and luckily too, you know, this is someone who has so much, his name is known and has mm-hmm. has worked in so many other projects and things like that, that he might have been able to, you know, live for 11 months without getting paid, or maybe because he was working on another project at the same time. And then also because of his stature, mm-hmm. He was able to kind of reach out and say, like, hey, like, no, like, this is, I'm disagreeing with this, and I'm going to use my platform to attack back.
Or, well, and he had to
defend type, myself, as he said.
And he reached out. This was crazy about the story to me, too. So the Reddit post was a lie. So, like, they were in negotiations, right, for a settlement. And he wanted them to take down the Reddit post, and they wouldn't do it. I'm like, why would you not take down a lie?
Yeah.
How are you going to settle without taking down a lie? And then he reached out to Reddit, got it taken down. Then they had it put back up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, dude, like, you're literally trying to stain his name while trying to act like you're not. That's sickening to me, man. That's some interesting behavior. That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to be real politically correct and say that's interesting behavior. I definitely have some stronger thoughts, but I'll let it glide right there. That is like, it's like you're trying to deface his reputation while having him deliver you great work. That's sickening, bro. And why you're trying to just run over him with your legal teams and everything else. Like I said,
mm-hmm.
if this is true, right? I don't know if I could work with that individual anymore. I'm being serious. Like, I would be like, you would do that to somebody? And, you know, if I was a musician, at least, I can't speak for the developers. They may have a chain they go through, right? But if I'm the musician or a composer, you know, nah, you good, bro. I only want to work with you. And then, like you said, the good thing is everybody else who's worked with them is like, yo, this is crazy. But you're leaving something in the public square. So the fans, we know the type of toxic fans I'm talking about, are pointing their ire at this guy because you're not going to say you're the problem. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? You're not going to take any blame. I can't stand like leaders like this, man. Being a veteran in the military and also working in some great places to include where I work now, I can't take nothing like that, bro. That's just, man. And you know, the sad thing is I don't know if anything will ever be done. Because we hear about some of the stories, but some never get out. And it's mm-hmm. kind of crazy. You know what I mean? Like, it's literally kind of like, wow. You know, like, this is, you know, another story of, respectfully speaking, a pseudo psychopath in the industry or something gone amok, or some powerful individual, you know, using their power in terrible ways and nothing. So I don't know if this will be another one. I sincerely hope it's not. But I would just like to reiterate that I'm really thankful that when Mick put his statement together, tagged all the receipts and explained the gaps that I would have had, how the contracts work, how things are delivered, what he delivered, why it was tough for him to deliver the schedule they originally asked for, blah, blah, blah. Like, it was impressive, man. And mm-hmm. it's something I won't soon forget about id Software. And honestly,
if I was at the company with this expose being out in the open, I would ask the individual to go ahead and pack up.
Yeah.
And thank him for his time at the company. And I don't say that lightly because I don't play with people's economics. It's real hard for me to say, like, somebody needs to be terminated. But in this case, with the expose out there, if factual, I want to put that out there again. If factual, I would have the gentleman pack his desk up.
Period.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or at least at least is like, we got to look into this, man. Let's get it.
Yes. Well, I mean, as a company, that's what I'm saying. If it was all true, this would be the end state. As a company, I got to do a whole bunch of due diligence. Yeah, I got to go see, like, okay, is this real? Did this happen? Do we have the emails of somebody saying they couldn't deliver because you don't have the direction, no art, no nothing? And then maybe it'd be better to, you know, do the music this way, and I think it'll be better for all parties. And then you say no, but then you take all the music anyway and use it later. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, it's just a cluster, man. Yeah, I'm just, like I said, to be clear, glad you asked that question. If the end state is this is all true, I would have to do a package desk up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I agree with you, Patrick.
I hope they do some research into this, because I don't know if this is the one you want, man. I don't know if you want to have this look on you. And I mean that sincerely. Like, I don't know if this is something you want to stick around. And what I do think is poetic justice, though, is that if this is all true, it will be forever stuck to his name as he tried to stick the blame on Mick Gordon's name.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a shame sometimes of how people just panic and they start making poor decisions, where it was like, all you had to do is pay the guy and renegotiate the contract.
All you had to do was get him a contract first, because he asked you about it. He said, you just made this announcement.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have no contract. And then just give him a contract. And then as I'm going to assume, I'm not a composer. Nor have I just studied music theory extensively anyway. So I'm like, okay. So then while he's developing the game, he can work on the soundtrack, and he knows how to do the transitions and everything like the way it's expected. But no, you didn't want to do that. You just wanted to be like, about that. Nah, we'll get back to you. And then you try to outsource it. And then after all that, when it blows up in your face, you're mad at him? Like, I ain't about that action, man. That's... Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, it's a lack of leadership, and it unfortunately is not limited to the video game industry. Some of these things happen all over corporate America. I'm not gonna act like I know. I do, but I'm not gonna act like, you know, that I personally have experienced it. But so I just hope that they tighten some of that up, and they you know, close those gaps, because I don't think people have a problem wanting to deliver successes. And I think it's very clear that he wanted to do that. But I do think that when you try to, and I've seen people do this, where they preemptively try to set up a point of blame. So before the failures even occurred, they're trying to make sure it's going to be blamed on someone. Like, who it's going to be blamed on is already established. And I think that's what happened in the most sickening way. And again, it's just a sign of poor leadership. You know what I mean? It really is. It's just a sign of not saying, you know, I managed this poorly, even though I had better recommendations from people with experience on how to do this better. That's all it is. And, you know, not everybody has that gusto. What can I say?
Yeah, I agree, Patrick. Okay, that is going to bring us to the end of our show. I want to thank everybody for listening. This is Gaming Times. We post every week, Monday at noon. If you have a question for the podcast, you can email us at gamingtimes09@gmail.com. If you can follow me on Twitter at Isaac_IDK. Patrick, where can the people find you?
You can email me at gamingtimespatrick@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter at TimesPat.
I want to thank you all for listening.
And remember, enjoy gaming.